Blog Talk Radio.
Do not quench the spirit. And I know I failed you so many times in this area, and I'm so sorry. If you give me a chance, I would like to invite your spirit to flow. Please.
Minister Daryl Kendrick, it's been a while. Been a while since I've been on here. But God, praise the Lord that I'm back. And we're here to do 30 minutes in God's Word. And welcome everybody that's here, everybody that will listen. And we just want to thank the Lord for allowing us to be here to serve and represent and bring forth the word of God. Before we go any further, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we're going to get into today's lessons. We're talking about are you the salt? Are you the salt of the earth? In Matthew, out of Matthew 6:13, are you the salt of the earth? Are we salty, believer? Are you salty? You and I are called to be salt in the earth. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us your Holy Spirit. Those of us who have been born again, Lord, are the called out ones. We are the chosen ones. We are your bride, your ecclesia. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, right now that you fill us all, Lord God, with your Spirit, that you have, that we would have ears to hear right now, Lord guys, God, and that we would have eyes to see, Lord God, as we need to see and be able to discern what is good and what is evil in these last days. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord. May I decrease and may you increase. May your Holy Spirit have his way right now in the mighty name of Jesus. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. I'm not going to keep you long. We're going to just have a little 30-minute little Bible study. For those who will stick around and those who are listening on Blog Talk, Twitter, or whatever other social media you listen to, we just thank you and welcome you for being here. Let's get right into it. Matthew 5:13 tells us this. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." We need to recognize that God has called us to a great mission or he's called us to a great work to be ambassadors and disciples of Jesus Christ. It's not something we just say, "Oh, I'm saved, I got salvation, and I just walk off and leave it at that." No, God has called us to be, and really this is going to be a part two, but part one is dealing with the salt, and we're going to deal with part three or part two on the light. But we want to talk about the salt first. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless," this is another translation, "if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again?" And it can't be. It's impossible for it to be made salty again. God has called us, when he redeemed us, he made us to be salt. And it's a metaphor of we're supposed to bring forth the taste of the Lord. The Bible tells us that to taste and know that the Lord is good. We should know that the taste of the Lord. He says, come and know that the taste and know that the Lord is good. If God is good in your life, in my life, if he has been our rock and our refuge, if he's been our Lord and Savior, we are called to be salt, and we're called to have a taste. That the Lord, and we're supposed to represent that saltiness to other people who might be lost, and God is the one that will give them or preserve them or raise them up out of the dead state of spiritual deadness. When God wakes them up spiritually, because yes, a lot of natural born people, a lot of naturally living people on this planet, but they're dead men walking, and God wants us to sprinkle the salt on them. In part A of this verse, because this part is 13 and 14, but we're just going to deal with verse 13 because of time. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Let's dissect this a little bit. This word for saltiness has a meaning of, it's a hidden meaning. He says the pronoun you is to be used to emphasize it, because he says you, that means every believer, you and I are the salt. God has given us a great commission to go ye therefore and make disciples, out of Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. He says, "You are the wit of the natural world. If, however, the wit might become insipid at some point, but by what it is put back together, It is valuable to no one except having been thrown to be trampled down beneath the people. The Greek metaphorical meaning of salt is wit. So since Christ was clearly using the term as a metaphor, he is primarily praising people for their cleverness. However, salt had another meaning. It had a meaning of value. It had a meaning of a preservative. It was used for money. It was used to pay wages. Back then, they didn't have coinages. So salt, you might be given a grain of salt, and that was a value. He says our word salary comes from the Roman word for salt. So Christ might have also been implying that people were valuable, perhaps as a preservative of common sense. The fact that this verse is about knowledge makes its connection to the next verse, Matthew 14, much clearer, because we're going to deal with that a little bit later. The Greek word translated as lost its savior, meaning moreno, means to act a fool. To be insipid. The choice of this word makes Christ's use of salt as a metaphor to wit fairly clear. Only in this passage is moreno ever translated as to make tasteless. So it's a moron, someone who's acting very foolishly, who would walk away or basically not be using the salt for the purpose that it was being used for, of value. When you and I give out the great word of God, when we share the good news of Jesus Christ, we're sharing it with people so that they cannot no longer be in law, be lost, no longer be foolish, no longer be outside of the body of Christ. We want people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. We must realize that it's beneficial when we are sharing our faith and we're living our faith, and then they have a reason to want to come to the faith. Cross reference Job 6:6 is tasteless food eaten without salt, or is it their flavor in the sap of the malo? Is tasteless food eaten without salt, or is there flavor in the sap of the malo? In other words, food don't taste good unless it's got some salt on it. We want a little season on our meat, right? Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. Have salt among yourselves. Be of value among each other. Each and every one of us are called to be vessels of light, vessels of honor. We're supposed to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And we're supposed to do this by way of our action, our conduct, not just talking a good talk, but how we live it, how we live it. Let's look at a little commentary here. He says, you are the salt of the earth, mankind lying in ignorance and wickedness, whereas a vast heap ready to putrefy. But Christ sent forth his disciples by their lives and doctrines to season it with what? Knowledge and grace. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Do you know that we got a whole world out here perishing because they refuse to take the love of the truth and the words of God and apply them to their lives? And when you and I refuse to apply the word of God to our life, we refuse to be light in a dark world. God wants us to be his ambassador, his representatives in Jesus' name. So we must represent his best interest, and we're represented by being salt, salt. We're supposed to be seasoning. We're supposed to be a preservative. We're supposed to be of value, and we make our value is only as good as the one that we're placed in. If our value is in Christ, then we represent the interests of Christ, because when we step out, he steps out. We're taking him with us. Amen? We see here very clearly that but Christ sent forth his disciples by their lives and doctrines to season it with knowledge. You and I, when we step out, friends, when we're out there in the world, when we go out places, we don't act like the world. We don't have those liberties, or we should not desire to be like we used to be. If you had a mentality, or I guess you could say, if you had a mindset where you were angry all the time, you have to put that at the foot of the cross. You have to take that to Jesus and say, oh no, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be this person. That's not who Christ made me to be. He says, if any man, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is a new creation, if any man be in Christ, She is a new creation. Old things have passed away. If you're dealing with anger, you're dealing with a hard heart, a stony heart, God is able to take you away or take that away from you because God wants to deliver you. And remember what he said here. Remember, it said, you are the salt of the earth. He said, that's in the imperative. You are. It's already a done deal for the believer. You are, I am, the salt of the earth. Mankind lying in ignorance and wickedness, whereas a vast heap ready to putrefy. But Christ sent forth his disciples by their lives and doctrines to season it with knowledge and grace. If they are not such as they should be, they are as salt that has lost its savor. You and I, when we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we will look like. People who have lost their savor, their saltiness. And are you salty, my friend? Are you and I salty? Do people know to us by the salt and the fruit? It's all symbolic of who we are in Christ. We are either sheep or goats. We are either wolves or sheep. We cannot have it both ways. We cannot just live any kind of way that we want to live and think God is obligated to just let us ruin his reputation. He didn't come here to die for our sins that we could keep on living in a lifestyle, a pattern of sin that does not please him, nor does it bring him joy. God wants the best for us. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to be salt, and we cannot afford to lose our saltiness. Amen. Amen. Mark 9:40-50 says, for everyone should be salted with fire. Every sacrifice. Luke 14:34-35. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its flavor, with which shall? Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have. See, this is not somebody, people like to quote the scripture says, see, they lost their salvation. No, they never had it. They never had true, genuine, saving faith. Their faith was placed in religion, not in a relationship. It didn't matter if it was Judaism. It don't matter if it was Gnosticism. It don't matter what kind of religion you placed it in. You and I cannot just take up on, we just can't walk away from the truth. If you truly are a believer, you'll never walk away from the truth, ever. Because God has you for eternity. He didn't save you for part-time relationship. You are saved for all of eternity. All of eternity. Let's look at Hebrews 6:4-6 as we wrap this up. Hebrews 6:4-6. Amen. Amen. We're talking about salty, being salt in a world full of people who don't want to be salt. They don't want to be. They want to get to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. And we all have to crucify ourselves. Hebrews chapter 6, 4-6. He says this. He says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now, many people would take this scripture and use it as a way, see, they lost their salvation. No. They didn't ever have something. How are they going to have something and lose it? Something that God gave them, that he imputed into them. God imputed his Holy Spirit into believers. Why would he take it away from us? And who are we to say when he took it away? So he never would take it away. He's not an Indian giver. Oh, the moment that we mess up, he's going to take the Holy Spirit out of us. No, that's not the heart of a believer. A true believer is a growing believer, a maturing believer, a believer that continues to crucify himself, Galatians 2:20 says. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but now Christ lives in me. So how am I going to, the Holy Spirit just jumps out when I'm sinning and jumps back in when I'm not? Oh, no, friend. Not losing salvation. Let's read the text. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened, these are people who have heard the gospel. They heard it. They ain't even embraced it.
sin. They've been enlightened. They felt the presence of God. They tasted and knew that the Lord was real.
And once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit can be around you and not in you? Yes, he can. The Holy Spirit can be around you but never be in you. And you can taste and know that he's good. You know that he's real. You know that the word of God is true. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. The powers of the age to come. And then have fallen away. How can you fall away? You was never in the faith. That's how you fall away. You taste it. You know he's real. You know the power. You saw God. You think Judas didn't see all this? Judas didn't lose it. He never had it. Never had salvation. Friends, this is something that we need to take very serious. We need to take very, very serious. Again, this is not losing anything. Salty Christians are Christians that are born again. Those who trample, those that lose it, or as they say, to lose your saltiness. Let's go back to verse 13 here again. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Only one type of believer, a salty believer, only one type of believer, one who has light, a shining bright, a light. Because we're going to get into verse 14 on the next one. He says, you are the light of the world, and the city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's verse 14 of Matthew 5. So these go hand in hand. So keep in mind, a believer, a true believer, is a spirit-filled believer who has been given the privileges of a child of God because of what? The Holy Spirit is in him or her. The Holy Spirit is in him or her. Let's look at this again. Leviticus 2:13 talks about, and every oblation of the meat offered shall be seasoned with salt. Remember in the Old Testament sacrifice that they had to give up an animal sacrifice, and guess what? That animal was seasoned too because it was going to be eaten by the Levitical priests, the Levites. They got to eat that. They didn't just cook it up. The aroma went up to God. There was an offering, a sin offering, but they ate that meat. It was good meat. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt, that you, let's go there right quick in closing. Colossians, hallelujah, Colossians 4:6. I love the word of God, friends. It's so enlightening. Colossians 4:6-7, he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each other. That's in verse 6. That you may know how you should respond to each other. Most of us get in trouble with our mouths because our mouths are not seasoned with salt. It's not seasoned with salt. Let's encourage one another to speak those things that are edifying, those things that build people up and encourage, not things that would tear down. Man, we should speak the truth in love. We should make sure that we present the good news of Jesus Christ and let people know that they are to represent, and we're supposed to be salt in a dark and dying world. But in that, let us always be mindful to let our speech be seasoned with salt. Let our speech be seasoned with salt in these last days, friends. We are living in some very tumultuous times. We're living in some very unbiblical times. And I mean, not unbiblical, we're living in a very sinful age, friends. And the reason that we see so much sin going on is because God told us that the world was going to get worse. The love of most would wax cold. And are we going to, do we believe that, or do we just take it for granted that it's just another, well, that's for everybody else, that's not for me? How do you know? If you're not opening your Bible, how do you know if you're walking in the truth? You must have a standard, and the standard must be the word of God. If I want to get from here to New York City and a specific place, I know how to get to New York. But guess what? Once I get into New York, where am I going from there? I need a map. I can tell people how to get to heaven all day long. But guess what? Without proper discipleship, without proper development of helping a young saint, growing them grace and knowledge, helping them be more mature, then guess what? They're not going to get to heaven because they're not going to know how to apply the word of God. That's why God has given pastors and teachers and disciple leaders to build up the body of Christ. When we say, oh, I don't need no pastor, I don't need this, I don't need that, that's a lie from the pit of hell. If God put these instruments or tools in place, he put them in place because he knew the body of Christ needed them. Yes, we follow Jesus Christ. Yes, we follow the word of God. Yes, we follow the Holy Spirit. But guess what? God has put the body in place or developed his church with a structure and an order, just like marriages. Husbands are head of their households. Wives are to submit to their husbands. The husband is not some warden or treat his wife like garbage. He treats her like Christ treats his church. And when we're following the order that's prescribed by God Almighty, guess what? We have blessings, we have benefits, and we have God Himself being pleased and glorified because He gave us structure and order, just like and His church is supposed to be ran accordingly. That's why the Bible clearly tells us that men are the head of the church. And they're supposed, and when we see these women taking position that God did not give them, it's not a church. It's out of order. It's sinful. And it's rebellion against the might, Almighty God. That might not sound good to some of you ladies, and I know y'all can do a lot of things, but God never gave you the position to be an elder. He didn't give women apostles or women this, or women he didn't give women in a lot of positions of apostles, nor did he make them in the early church, he didn't make them in positions of leadership. We don't see that. And he clearly tells the role of a woman. And guess what? There's enough women out here that's confused. They need to know what godly women look like. Stop trying to be something you're not. Because a woman cannot tell a man how to be a man. She never can tell a man how to be a man. She can build her husband up, or she can tear him down. But she can't tell him how to be a man. Only God can teach a man how to be a man, and other godly men. Y'all's job is to raise up the children, teach the children, and teach these younger women how to be good wives and take care of their homes. We would fix the divorce rate in 1 year if all the women in the church was taking their role to help these younger women know how to be submissive to their own husbands. And then the men were taking the role to teach young men and young husbands how to be godly husbands and godly fathers. I promise you, we would fix the church in America in 1 year. We just started there. Amen? I'm going to close right here. But I want to say this in closing, friends. This is not a pick on anybody. This is just being biblical. We are living in a very tumultuous time. It's time for the body of Christ to step up. It's time for the body of Christ to be salt. Stop being cotton candy. Stop being sugar daddies, sugar babies. Stop being Twinkies and ho-hos. Let's be salt. Let's be salt in a dark world. Let us not lose our saltiness. We'll come back again for part two probably tomorrow. But I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken 65, and I am glad that we had this opportunity to break bread. I pray that the Holy Spirit has ministered to you and that the word of God has touched your heart and soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, which never comes back void. I pray, Lord God, if it's just one soul that's been encouraged or one soul that he may have been convicted, that that one soul, Lord God, if they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that this would be the day that they come to saving faith. And if they do not know what that requires, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that they would reach out to me, Lord God. I don't want nobody to go to sleep tonight thinking that they promised tomorrow. Lord, we must know you. We must know you in spirit and truth. We must know you by the word of God, Lord God. And if we die tonight without you, Lord God, we die for all eternity. And we spend eternity separated from you. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that your spirit would touch each and every one of us, Lord God, that we would meditate on this message, Lord, and that it may cleanse us. And, Lord, if we need to do some repenting, Lord, may we do it. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for truth. In Jesus' mighty name we say amen. Amen. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with me off the air, 713-538-4936, 713-538-4936. Also, you can catch me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick, at Daryl Kendrick. You can also catch me on Gmail at dkendricksr@gmail.com or MinisterBigKen@yahoo.com, yahoomail.com or yahoo.com. Hey, we just trying to get the word out. I'm just one person trying to do my part for the kingdom of God to help make disciples and help build up the kingdom of God. We are, I don't know how much time I got here. My heart is working at 65%, but you know what? My heart is for God. My heart is for building up the kingdom, and I pray that you guys have the same attitude, those of us who say that we have a personal relationship. I pray that you are telling others and helping spread the good news. We all together can make a dent in the kingdom of darkness by spreading salt in this dark world. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed day.
God, your word says in 1 Thessalonians, do not question. And I know I've failed you so many times in this area, and I'm so sorry. I would like to invite your spirit to flow. Please. In my mind, Holy Spirit move. In my body, God move. All the time, Holy Spirit move. In my family, I'm Holy Spirit.